It's good to be here this morning. I haven't been a guest speaker ever to any other church, so it's kind of different for me. But I hope you all enjoy it. When Joey asked me to preach, I asked Rachel about it. She kind of got this nervous look on her face, and she says, "Has anybody warned you about? Did they warn you?" But I promise her and you, I'll be on my best behavior this morning. So, and that ain't saying much. But yeah, let's get started here. So as I was praying about what to share here, you know, that's one thing I'll say about Joey is he's very organized, so he gave me plenty of warning. I don't really know him, honestly. I don't know him that well. I've met him a handful of times, but he seems very organized. So he asked me for about a couple months ago if I'd share, and I told him I would. I was praying about what to share, and I really, as I woke up early one morning, and I don't know if Cal was up this early, but it was early one morning. I heard the scripture going through my mind, and I really feel like it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me what to share with you guys this morning. And I hope to encourage all of you this morning. And it is meant to be an encouragement. It's hopefully meant to be a challenge. But I don't know where you are at as a church or individuals in the work of the Holy Spirit in your lives, but for me, it is just so important. And I believe unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be effective in the light of eternity. And so I really feel that, you know, we all have the Holy Spirit within us, right? I mean, when we're baptized, it says you will receive the Holy Spirit. But just because we have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So we receive the Holy Spirit, but doesn't mean we're filled with it. And that's what we all need to be, is just filled with that Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you're not saved. You still have the blood of Jesus on your life, but you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the gifts. We just came through Christmas, right? And we all exchanged a bunch of gifts, but Jesus also left some gift for us, right? So one of the gifts he left us, we would all say eternal life, because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So God sent his Son to us. Now we all know that Jesus wasn't really his optimum goal is to be crucified. And it says he pleaded with God in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If there be any other way, take this from me." But he did give up his life for you. And it's John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends." Jesus loves you so much that he gave his one and only Son for you. John 14:15-17 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray that the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide in you forever. The Spirit of truth, for whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." In my mind, there's no gift that can compare with Jesus giving his life for you. There's nothing that could compare with that, but there's nothing that can affect your spiritual life more than being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus left, he said, "I will leave you a helper. I will leave this helper behind for you." And he gave you this gift of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not even what I'm here to talk about this morning, but that's extra there. But our main text this morning, I want to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And you can turn there, and we'll be going 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with the 24th verse. "Do you know that in the race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that they will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize." So in this passage, we see Paul here writing the letter to the Corinthians is encouraging them to persevere. Now we have some runners in here this morning somewhere, right? Why do you run the race? It's to win, right? Years ago, my wife entered a race, and it was just like, for some silly reason, it was a charity event or something. But she wasn't going to win the race. And it's like, how stupid is that? She's joining to finish. I don't understand joining to finish. Herman Edwards, he's a football coach. He about 15, 20 years ago, he went on a rant because some of the players, they blew like an 18-point lead, and they just went out there to finish the game, you know, and he goes on a rant. You play to win the game, you know, and he's going on and on and on. You race for the prize. You race to finish. You join the race to win, right? And you don't just play to, this was Herman Edwards' rant in his press conference. He says, you don't just play to play. This is football. If you're not taking the field to win the thing, then why are you even out there? You play to win the game. And he said it much more than I could ever say. But you, if you're just going to go out there and not compete, what is the point? Verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Run in such a way to get the prize. And that, as I woke early in the morning and thinking of this, is the phrase that kept going through my mind. Run in such a way to get the prize. So what prize are you going after this morning? And we'll get there. Now, sticking with the theme of running, we have some cross-country runners in here. When those runners cross the line in cross-country, they have given everything out. They have pushed themselves. They have left everything out there. They leave nothing back. If they come out sprinting, they're probably not going to be there at the end. If they come out slow and dawdling, everybody's going to take off. But they pace themselves. They discipline themselves. If these runners don't go into strict training and discipline, they're not going to wind up there at the end. 25. Everyone who competes in the game goes for it into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So these runners don't just show up on race day and hope to win the race. They might show up and hope to finish the race, but they're not going to show up and win the race. Now, I never competed in cross country in school. I don't understand it 100%. I guess I do kind of understand it. But there was two types of people when I was in high school that ran cross country. Those that really enjoyed it and those that knew that they would get out of school about 1 o'clock in the afternoon if they joined cross country, right? I don't know if things have changed, but that's how it was. Now, they put themselves through some agony of running just so they could get out of school. They didn't really go into that strict training and compete. They just basically were there to finish a race. They didn't compete. They weren't very good, honestly. Some of you are in this race not to win, and only you can answer that. Verse 26 says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating at the air. So Paul says, we're not here just running to run. We're not just like this boxer that's hitting at the air. It says aimlessly, without an aim or purpose or direction, aimlessly. So what is your purpose? What is your purpose in your spiritual life? Do you have a purpose, or are you just running to run this race? Are you just running because it's the right thing to do, right? I mean, we've all been there. Cal has been. You know, we get into these ruts and we just run to run and because it's the right thing to do and we need to persevere, and maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. So what is your purpose in your spiritual life? Are you running towards a goal? If you run without discipline, you are like the boxer just beating at the air. Verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should not become disqualified. A runner takes great discipline when they run. Paul says, I discipline my body. It takes great discipline. It's sticking at it. We know that discipline and disciple are of the same root word, right? To be a disciple of Christ, it takes discipline. To be a runner, it takes discipline. Now, these athletes, every part of their life is discipline, right? It's when you can look at Tom Brady, you can either love him or hate him, but every part of his life is football, 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 right? I mean, whether he's only got one purpose, and that's to win. And that's not the right way to be in life either. But he is so disciplined at football. It's whether his diet, his lifestyle, everything he does is to win games. He goes into a strict discipline to win the game. And that's how we are to be as Christian, is to have ourselves strict discipline. He just disciplines his body to bring it into subjection. So self-discipline is hard, right? So about 3-4 years ago, I was getting a little thick around the middle, so I decided I was going to start running a little bit, right? So The first day I go out, I run a quarter mile, and I think I might die. Next day, I go out, run a quarter mile, think I might die. Next day, I go out, run a half mile, I'm sure I'm going to die. But as you run as a runner, it becomes easier and easier and easier, and as repetition, it becomes easier. And, you know, soon it was 3, 4, or 5 miles. And what happens is something within your body when you start running, even though it's not enjoyable, there's something about it that your body releases these, they're chemicals, hormones or pheromones or something like that. But it becomes almost as an addiction. They call it runner's high. And that's how our spiritual life kind of is. It's not always easy to stay in the Word. It's not always easy to get out your Bible and pray, and you got this, that going. But the more you do it, the more you realize you need it and you enjoy it, and it fills this void within your life. And that should be our spiritual walk. It's not always going to be easy, but we need to stay disciplined. There are days you're going to probably have to force yourself to get in the Word, and there's days you're going to have to force yourself to do things you don't want to do. But so if you stay disciplined, but what happens? You skip a day or two, all of a sudden it becomes not that important. And so I haven't run for 4 years, so because it's really not that important to me. But anyways, even Paul says, I must be disciplined so I do not become disqualified. And it's talking about his spiritual life. Even Paul. I mean, we look at Paul and most of us would say, man, he had it together. And even he was concerned about being disciplined in his spiritual walk, that he would not be disqualified. You know, Paul is using these verses here in Corinthians here as an analogy, as an individual event. But we're in this race together, right? So we in this, as Christians, are in the same race. We're all, it's more of a team event. It's we're in here to encourage and strengthen one another. I'm going to read a short story here about Jesse Owens here. The story of Jesse Owens and Lutz Long, these were two gentlemen who competed in the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin, and who would be forever associated with the Olympic Games of the brutal Nazi regime. Out of the tyranny of the Games came a wonderful display of true sportsmanship and friendship that meant more than Olympic Games themselves. Both of these gentlemen came from different backgrounds and circumstances. Owen was an African-American who suffered the indignity of segregation and ridicule because of the color of his skin. Long was a beloved white German who could have anything he wanted and was beloved son of Germany, who was one of the stars that would show the world the Aryan supremacy in the world of track and field. Jesse Owens would become the most decorated Olympian at the 1936 Olympic Games. By winning the gold medal in the 100 meters, 200 meters, long jump, and the 4x100 relay events, Lutz Long would only secure his silver medal in the long jump. Owens was the most successful athlete of the Games, as such has been credited with the single-handedly crushing Hitler's myth of the Aryan supremacy. During the long jump competition, Long was competing against Owens and just recorded a jump that became the world record, Olympic world record. Owen struggling was down to his final jump. Long, sensing that Owen was feeling dejected, offered him some assistance and told him, try jumping from a spot several inches behind the takeoff board, since Owens routinely made the distance from far greater than a minimum of 7.15 inches or meters required to advance. The final round, Long surmised that Owens would be able to advance safely to the next round without risking the foul or trying to push for a greater distance. On his third and qualifying jump, Owens was calm and jumped with at least four inches, 10 centimeters to spare, easily qualifying for the finals. In the final competition later that day, both Owens and Long exceeded the Olympic record 5 times. Owen went on to win the gold medal in the long jump with an 8.06 meter while besting Long's own record of 7.87. Long won the silver medal for second place and was the first to congratulate Owens. This posed together for photos and walked arm in arm to the dressing room. Owen said, it took great courage for him to befriend me in front of Hitler. You can melt down all the medals and cups I have, and they would not be plating on the 24-carat friendship that I had felt with Lutz Long at that moment. Now, it was a month or two later that Lutz Long was killed on the German battlefront. I'm sure he was sent to the front lines for what he did there. But that's how we are to be as Christians. We're not competing against one another. Now, Jesse and Lutes were definitely competing against each other, but we're supposed to see where others are struggling and give them advice. Well, maybe not too much unsolicited advice, but you better be filled with the Holy Spirit before you do that. But we're to spur one another on and encourage one another. If we look at any other team sports, there are all kinds of individual achievements people can get, whether it be in football, basketball, or baseball. They're all team sports, but there's all individual achievements with them. But what do we see? We see it all the time that athletes make it about themselves instead of their team. And it's not an individual. This Christian walk is not an individual effort. Only we all need to be individually disciplined, but we all need to work as one team. This church here isn't about, now I don't know anything about your church, honestly, so. But this church isn't just about a pastor, right? I mean, it's about you guys. It's not just about one pastor being in charge of everything, but it's you all each have an individual responsibility. It doesn't matter how good of a preacher Joey is or how good of an individual you are. You all need to work together to affect eternity. I mean, that's what it's about, right? It's about winning souls for Christ. I mean, we look at the youth that go over to Ed and D's, and it's from all different churches and areas, and it's about discipleship, right? I hope. I don't know. I've never been there. But is that what it's about? It's about discipleship. So it's about, now each one of those kids has to make an individual choice, but it's an individual choice, but it's all working together for one goal. So why have you joined the race? And only you can answer that. Is it just to run, or is it to obtain the prize? You will not win any race by practicing 1 or 2 hours a week. You need to just be continually disciplined in prayer and encouraging one another. That's the nice thing about. So we're all Christians, but God has called each of us to different things. And Cal has his role, and Trenton has his role, and I guess Ed has a role. God places us all in different places in life, and and we need to be careful to not start pointing fingers. Well, he's not doing that, and he's not doing that. Well, he didn't call you to do that. He called Cal to do that, you know. And sometimes it feels like we get in a point where we're the only ones doing anything. But God has called each of us to do our own thing, but do your part. But the Bible also calls us to be in the world, but not of the world. And I tell you, such a privilege. Last summer helping Jay coach baseball. I mean, what a privilege it is to be affecting young people's lives. And we didn't always do the best at that. We failed at times, but we did. What a privilege it is to be able to encourage these young men and their families. And we're all called to different things. I remember we were in a must-win situation. And one of the kids comes up and says, or Jay's giving him a pep talk, and says, we really need to win this game. And the kid says, well, baseball's not about winning. It's just about having fun. And most of you probably know how competitive Jay is, and I'm probably about as close as he is, and we just kind of looked at each other, you know, and smiled. But we did win that game, and he comes in, and he's like, hey, we won. I says, I thought it was just about having fun. Yeah, but it's a lot more fun when you win. So, and he's right. It is. So what are your spiritual wins? You were praying for, I didn't catch her name, but you were praying for a lady this week and she's healed. That's a spiritual win. But you can't have a win if you're not engaged. I mean, we need to have spiritual wins, and it takes discipline, time, and obedience to have spiritual wins, right? And, but be involved in things, you know, especially see how you can affect eternity, because you can. And I think, and I need to be careful here, but I think we as Christians kind of do a poor job with our kids. And here's the part I need to be careful at, because I'm not here to offend anyone. We kind of insulate our kids a lot, right? Because we want to protect them, right? And we protect them for very good reasons, because the world's an evil place. I mean, I think a bunch of you parents in here homeschool your kids. We homeschool our kids too. But is what happens is it's if we put too big of a bubble around them, they don't realize what the outside world's like. And I don't know what, that's different for each individual and each family and each kid, but I think as that carries on and older in life, we don't really realize how to relate to these people that need to hear the gospel, because we get too caught up in and trying not to. If my kid is taught his whole life that the world is evil, he's going to avoid that person, right? And I think we as parents need to teach our kids. I think we as Christians need to do a better job of teaching our kids to be in the world and not of the world, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We need to, we don't need to subject our kids to evil and show them all kinds of evil, but we need them to be prepared to go out into the world and face the world, because it is an evil place. And anyway, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. One day you're going to sit before the judgment seat of God, right? Every one of us. And there will be no participation trophies. You're going to either stand before God and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, or there's only one other way. But why? The question I want to ask you this morning is, why are you running? Are you running just to run? Are you running, or are you running to reach the goal? And we as Christians sometimes too get caught up in thinking that our goal as Christians is to live a good and Christian life and to make it to heaven. And that is one of the goals. But our goal as Christians should be affecting eternity, and not only for me, but those around us, our lost family, our lost neighbors. It's more about just an individual thing. It's about running a race to affect eternity for others as well. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us set aside every weight and sin so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Philippians 2:16 says, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labor in vain. So don't run your race in vain. Don't labor in vain. Don't go out and make a living, because we all need to make a living. But that's not why we labor. We don't labor in vain, but we labor for heavenly things. And God has called each of you to different races to run, but run in such a way that you may obtain the prize.